You might be familiar with Henry Nouwen's work. Henry Nouwen was a Dutch Catholic priest who lived from 1932 until 1996. And Nouwen wrote, taught, and served extensively on the topics of spirituality, identity, pastoral ministry, and social justice. Among the daily devotions that I receive in my email inbox, I receive the Henry Nouwen Daily Devotion. It helps me center myself, ground myself in my identity as a follower of Jesus and as a child of God. And so I'd encourage you, take a look at Henry Nouwen's daily meditations. But at the center of Nouwen's work, there was a desire for people to know their belovedness as children of God. Their belovedness as God's chosen people. In fact, my friend Scott Hagen, who's pastor at First Methodist here in town, did his doctoral work on Nouwen's words and how our understanding, our connectedness to our belovedness can not only help us thrive in life, but in ministry as well. Because ultimately fulfillment in life and thriving in ministry is not so much connected to our giftedness, our aptitude, but rather to our deep connection with our belovedness as the people of God, realizing that you and I are the beloved of God, that you are the chosen people of God. As the scriptures say, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and you are wholly loved and cherished by God, who not only created you and formed you, but formed you in his very own image. Much of Nouwen's work revolves around this core message. Take, for instance, Nouwen's sermon at the Crystal Cathedral in 1992, where he discusses the central question that keeps us going and sometimes keeps us up at night. That question of, who am I? Who am I? In that sermon, Nouwen outlines how we often answer this question in three ways. I am what I do. I am what other people say about me, and I am what I have. These are the standard ways that we answer the question, who am I? We look externally. We don't look internally. We look at the things we do, how we are employed. We look at what other people have to say about us, and then we look at our belongings, our possessions, our families, and we define ourselves in those sorts of ways. I've shared with a few of you that I am an Enneagram 3, and Nouwen's work in the Enneagram, it has its overlaps. But because I'm an Enneagram 3, part of my great struggle in life is understanding my inherent value, my belovedness, apart from the things that I do, the things that I achieve, the feelings of others, and the applause of others. I struggle understanding that I'm not what others think of me or say about me, that I'm not what I achieve or what I have, but that instead, my value and my worth come from God and the belovedness that I already possess as a child of the King. It's taken me years, and I'm not done working this out inside of myself. It's taken me years to gain a deeper understanding of my belovedness and how God values Jonathan just for who I am. You are valued and you are loved by God just for who you are. But that question still haunts me. Who am I? This is the central question I thought of when I imagined the scene that Luke depicts of the Sermon on the Mount, or in this case, the Sermon on the Plain, found in Luke chapter 6. In our text today, Jesus comes down from the mountain where he's been praying and where he has just appointed 12 of his disciples to also be his apostles. And as he comes down the mountain, he walks among the crowd made up of people who've come to hear him teach. But more than that, people who've come to be healed by him from hundreds of miles away. Tyre and Sidon aren't places that are easily accessible or just nearby. And so along with the crowd and the 12, there are other disciples as well. Now remember, the crowd that is gathered there on the plain, it's not just composed of onlookers and people who are looking for entertainment. No, there are would-be disciples out there among the crowd, people who were looking to take a step toward Jesus and his teaching, people who were ready to take a step to begin following after him, not just from afar, but close in. And it's while Jesus is moving among the crowd, going from group to group and healing them, that he looks up to his disciples and begins to deliver this sermon. And Jesus, this text tells us, yes, he's speaking to his disciples, but the crowd is listening in as Jesus begins to speak and to preach and to share the good news of the kingdom of God. In this message, Jesus offers an invitation to the crowd. He offers an invitation to the disciples to take another step towards him. Without saying it outright, Jesus lists of blessings and woes, names some of the fundamental views of human self-identity. Who am I? Am I what I have? Am I what I do? Am I what people say about me? In Jesus' words, we hear various answers to the question, who am I? I am poor. I am hungry. I am weeping. I am rejected and ridiculed. I am rich. I am content with myself. I'm laughing about my success. I am someone who everyone admires. Or as Nowlin would summarize for us, I am what I do, weep or succeed. I am what I have, plenty or not enough. I am what people say or think about me, good or ill, truth or lies. Underlying the blessings and woes is a necessary understanding about connection. You see, the disciples who have been following Jesus up to this point in the story of Jesus' ministry, they have the right connection. They have the right connection. They have left jobs and a way of life to learn from their rabbi. They have chosen to identify themselves and define their identity in and with Jesus. The crowds who come and gathered there on the plain have come for the moment. But remember, to be a disciple, to become a disciple, is a choice that's not momentary, but a choice that is for life. Being a disciple of Jesus is truly an answer to the question, who am I? As identities, the descriptions that we use are deeply rooted in us because they describe the connection we hold with what we believe to be true, positively and negatively. Henry Nouwen's great desire was for people to know that they were beloved of God was not for no reason, it was for a purpose. Along with being extremely biblical, it was also a life-giving worldview. A worldview that allowed each person to understand that they have inherent worth. And the invitation that we hear here in Luke chapter 6 is an invitation to be connected and to be rooted in Christ so that that discovery of belovedness, of inherent worth, is possible. And you might be confused when you read this passage of Scripture because you might think that this is an invitation to become poor or to become mournful. But that's not really what Jesus is getting at here. Who am I? Jesus isn't saying that we as his disciples, as his followers, must choose to be poor or choose to be hungry or to always be full of mourning or to willingly seek out rejection and defamation. Just as we are not to seek out to be rich or to be content with ourselves or to become callous to the needs of others while we live the good life, nor to cultivate a persona that makes us a friend to all. know the point that Jesus is making. It's about connection. He's giving the disciples, helping to give the disciples something about their identity, and I believe something about our identity to hold on to when bad times come. And I can stand before you this morning to tell you that bad times are coming for we who are disciples of Jesus. And that's not some doom and gloom apocalyptic proclamation. That is just the reality of life on earth. Bad things are coming. Life is full of troubles and full of struggles and full of heartache and full of mourning. And so what are we to do in moments when we ask ourselves, who am I? Because we find ourselves broken and poor and hungry, grief-stricken and rejected. Jesus says, understand that when you go through trials and troubles of many kinds, that those trials and troubles are not declarations of your value or your worth. Jesus reframes that in the first part of his sermon. That blessed are you when you are weak. Blessed are you when you are mourned. Blessed are you when you are rejected. Because even though you are all those things, you are still connected to Christ. You are still connected to Jesus. Jesus was asking the crowd and the disciples to center their identity and their understanding of who they are on him. And he's asking us to do the same thing this morning. Because it's so easy to define ourselves in other ways. It's so easy to define ourselves by what we do, what people say about us, and what we have. Now look back at those woes that Jesus pronounces. Notice there's an implied connection that underlies all of those woes. Those who are listed in the woes, they aren't connected to God and they're not connected to Jesus. Those who Jesus pronounces woe over, they're only connected to themselves. They're only connected to the present moment. And Jesus says, if that's your posture in life, if that's where your connection is only to yourself and only to this present moment, then your future is dark and woeful, full of trouble and full of suffering. The connection matters. Eugene Peterson's version of this text in the Message paints the picture. He says, but it's trouble ahead if you think you have it made. And boy, have I thought I've had it made from time to time. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long enough. And it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met and you are going to meet it. There's trouble ahead. When you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them, popularity contests are not truth contests. The truth is, I have been connected both deeply to Christ and deeply to myself. That some days I live in the blessed connection with God. And some days I live in the woeful state of only being connected to myself. My hope as a follower of Jesus is that day by day, as I encounter God in His Word, as I encounter God in prayer, as I encounter God through service and through communion and through worship, that I'll find myself less connected to myself and more deeply connected and rooted in my Savior and in my Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is standing among the crowds and speaking to his disciples about identity and about connection. He's inviting them to choose to be his disciples, to be rooted in him rather than in themselves or in their circumstances. He's laying before them the mindset that will allow them to be rooted in truth no matter the circumstances. In this world, we will have trouble, Jesus tells us elsewhere. But we are blessed disciples of the one who has overcome the world. And here's the bottom line today, friends. To be blessed is to be beloved. And to be beloved is to be connected to Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have allowed so many other things to define us. We have run to so many other places for our identity and for our purpose. We've believed that the sum of who we are is just what we do, doctor, teacher, small business owner, mother, father, child, friend. We've believed the lie that we are what we have, whether that's many things or just a few things. We've believed the lies that have been said about us instead of the truth of your word that says every one of us is beloved and is welcome to enter in to an abiding relationship with you. Lord Jesus, you are above all things, and it is your right to define us. Help us to define ourselves in you. May we be blessed and beloved. May we be connected with you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.